This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy 94.9. Freshly dug Joycast.
Joining me in the studio now for something a little bit different to what we do at this time of day normally. We've got a couple of people from the RSPCA, an inspector, Marie Crabtree. Hi, Marie.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
And also Catherine Scullin, the bushfire recovery manager. Hi, Catherine.
Hello there.
Now this all began when last year, in fact, when we were having bushfire warnings, like we've just had very recently, Code Red Days and all the rest of it. And I got in touch with Catherine and I said, what am I supposed to do with my dogs? How do I evacuate my dogs? What do I have to think about? Are there any doggy daycare facilities while I go to work? All these kind of things. And we decided that this would be a good subject to talk about on air because a lot of people are going to have the same kind of problems. Now, we don't have doggy daycare yet, do we, as such? Or at least it's rather hard to find.
It is a little bit hard to find. It's generally a little bit further out of the city. We can't really find a lot in the city, but you will be able to find some on the fringes.
Yeah, and of course the problem with the fringes is that's often where the bushfire is.
Yes.
So you're not necessarily putting yourself in any better position. And of course, if you're taking them somewhere like that, that involves a good deal of forward planning, doesn't it?
It certainly does, yeah.
So if you're evacuating your animals, let's start with dogs, because I've got dogs. I've got two small dogs. What do I have to think about? What's my checklist here?
Your checklist is certainly make sure that your dogs now are all microchipped. Mm-hmm. Anything could frighten the animal and run off, and we want to make sure that we can identify the animal. Make sure that your vaccinations are up to date, because if you do find yourself having to go to a boarding kennel, you may get turned away if your vaccinations aren't up to date for your animal.
So, in other words, in your emergency kit, you must also pack their vaccination certificates.
Yes, that would be a very good idea.
Alongside your own passports and everything else.
Yes, and also a photograph. If you can maybe email yourself a photograph of your dog, and this can apply for anything else. If you're looking for an animal, you often won't have a photograph of them, and that can be very handy when you're trying to find an animal.
Or even a current one.
Yes.
You might have the cute puppy dog pics, but you haven't taken any recently.
That's right, yeah. So that's also very handy. And also thinking about water and food. So think about if perhaps you're evacuating, you really need to make sure you've got enough water and food for about 3 days.
So obviously the best thing to take under those circumstances is probably dried food, isn't it? Because that's a good deal more portable than carting around a lot of cans.
Yes, that would be good.
And of course you don't have to feed them so much with dried food as well. You don't have so much bulk to think about.
Yep, that's right. And then also make sure they're wormed and defleed as well, because it may be hard for you to get that where you're going. And also if they may be interacting with other animals if they're evacuated to an area, with a council.
Yeah.
So it's always good to keep the dogs healthy.
Are councils involved in setting up any kind of... They set up refuges for people sometimes. Are they helpful when it comes to looking after pets as well?
It's actually a mix. Some are and some aren't. Some look to us to take animals when there's an emergency, and then others are quite proactive, or they have more room, or also they're more prone to an emergency, so they have set aside areas for animals.
Yeah. And of course, the last important thing, of course, is, you know, how you're going to move them. Because particularly if you're dealing in a fairly panicky situation, you don't want the animals rambling around loose in your car. You've got to have them properly secured. Marie, what would you recommend for the best way of transporting them?
Look, if you're talking about domestic animals, of course, it's good if you've got the carry cages and your leads and everything else. And also the crates, collapsible crates are also very handy to have, mm-hmm. because you're obviously going to gather all your animals. So it's good to have your emergency kit somewhere in the home. That's always there. It's always up to date. So you just walk in, grab your stuff, grab your animals, place them into the vehicle, ensure there's plenty of fresh water, blankets, fire blankets, that type of thing, because you don't know what you're going to run into mm-hmm. also when mm-hmm. you're in the vehicle. Mm-hmm. Then you're driving your vehicle to a safe area. And a lot of refuges do take animals, and they're usually tied up or placed in cages. So if you can try and contain them mm-hmm. Somehow, cat carry cages, also they're important with cats because they're quite flighty, and a lot of them do take off.
It sounds like another thing one ought to think about too is maybe sticking a beach umbrella or something in the car so that you can give them some shade.
That's right, yeah.
At some point, because this is likely to be on hot days.
And it's really good if you sort of go for a practice run, just think, right, you're putting yourself in a situation where a fire's coming down the road. What am I going to do?
Yeah.
Put your plan in action. Same as your human lives are at risk, your animal lives are at risk. So there has to be a plan in action for this.
Right. So just inside your front door.
Yep.
Most of us who live in the, I live in Eltham, so I'm right on the fringe.
Yep.
Just inside my front door, I've got a bag and it's already packed, and it's everything for me. You know, it's me and my partner. It's toiletries, a few clothes. It's important paperwork like insurance documentation, passports, identity documents of all kinds, and all that. So alongside that, we then have the emergency kit that goes with the animals.
Exactly.
Again, in our case, dogs. Now, I've got my dog carry case, and thanks to what you've just told me, I will now add in to the pile of stuff there, the vaccination certificates. What else do I need along with the food, the vaccination certificates? We've talked about shade. We've talked about blankets. Anything else we need to...
Some leads would be good.
Yeah, any medications if your animals are suffering from any illnesses or something is good to ensure.
And the photographs that you mentioned. Yeah.
Your council registration. Make sure all the documents are up to date. What is really important is information of your vet is very important. In case you're not at home on the day, you need to talk to the community or friends or family to have a spare key to enter your house and rescue your animals for yourself. They need to know your plan also that's in action at the time. So they've got all your details of where your boarding kennel is, where your vet clinic is, identification, photographs, important stuff that they need to try and ensure your animal's safe.
So, in other words, we've got to pay as much care and attention to looking after the animals as we do looking after ourselves.
Oh, yeah, they're part of the family.
They are indeed. Now, you mentioned, Marie, about cats being flighty. Now,
yes.
I've owned cats in the past. The only reason I don't at the moment is my partner can't stand them. unfortunately. Mind you, my cats seem to do very well. I just had news from the UK of a cat that I left behind when I moved out here who's just hit his 20th birthday.
That's great.
Which is
excellent age for a cat.
He's a bit stiff in the joints these days.
He would be.
Do very much, but he's still going strong.
Good.
Are there any particular things? Let's get specific about particular animals. Cats, you say, are particularly flighty.
Yes.
How can you help them be a bit more settled when you're transporting them?
Look,
does it help to sort of cover them over so they can't see, for example?
It certainly does.
Yes.
Look, make the environment safe for them. They like to be kept in darkness. Look, there are some sedatives out there or medications that you can also administer to your animal to calm them also. That's for cats. Look, you're especially dealing with domestic and livestock, so there's a lot of things you have taken place for the bigger animals too, which is really, really important.
Right. I'm thinking of a good friend of mine, Kay Sarah, who is, she's not likely to have to evacuate anywhere. I don't think there are going to be any bushfires in Alma Road anytime soon. But she absolutely adores her budgies.
Ah, yes.
Now, birds are obviously a whole different thing because I know in this particular instance the budgie is let out of the cage, allowed to fly around the apartment certain times of the day, spends a lot of time perched on Kay's head.
Yep.
all this kind of thing. Yeah, I know I'm painting a lovely word picture for the listeners here. One drag queen with a budgie in the wig. Makes a change from the stuffed fish. Obviously, there's a danger with birds that they're going to get out into the wild when you're out and about. They need to be particularly carefully taken care of, don't they?
That's right. Yeah.
They do.
Now, this whole thing about keeping them in the dark is also something that helps with birds.
It doesn't hurt to cover their cages also. Yeah.
What about reaction to heat? I mean, if you've got a air conditioning in your house, obviously your pets are fine. If you've got shade for them outdoors, that's not going to help on a 40 odd degree day like we had recently. How do you keep them cool?
That's right. Oh, look, we deal with this quite regularly in summer periods, and it's
you
a situation.
Don't leave them in the car, obviously.
You don't leave them in the car, but we do deal with the fools that do. And, it's a shame it still occurs these days, but we've just had these reports recently with the hot weather, animals in cars. But the situation would be common sense prevails, of course, and it's all about keeping cool. If you're hot, your animals are hot, so you have to keep your body temperature down. It's the same with the animals. And that's usually shade, and that's usually sufficient water or spray mists, ice blocks. Also, they're important in water bowls.
Paddling pools are good too.
Yeah, look, bathtubs are great. It's just really comes so down to so, common so you could sense
take
about...
A, so you could take an inflatable paddling pool with you when you're in evacuation.
Why not? Why not chuck it in?
And pop your dog in it if it gets a bit too hot.
Exactly, you know, right.
And get some water in there. Yep. Don't know if the cat would like that too much.
Probably not.
For those people who have larger animals,
yes.
I'm thinking now there's people around me in Eltham, they have sheep, they have goats, and obviously they have ponies.
Yes.
That's obviously a whole different kettle of fish.
Livestock is a different kettle of fish, that's for sure. And you need a bit more forward planning with that because it'll be a big evacuation for your animals. So you've got to really ensure, it depends on the size of your land, of course, what you're dealing with, but you've got to have a really closely grazed land, which area that you can place your animals into safely, where it's low grazing, so the fire won't take control of it too much and they've got a good chance of survival in a big, safe area like something like that, or remove them off the property onto another adjustment property.
Yeah, because it's a bit difficult to put your pet goat in the car or whatever.
And it is. But people do that.
I'm sure that I wouldn't be at all surprised. I would be very surprised if the goat didn't insist on it.
Hello.
Some of the goats of my acquaintance, anyway. Very, very pushy animals sometimes.
They can
now
be.
Look, the people who can help in these situations, if you need more information, obviously you can talk to your local vet because they will have information as well. What about your local council?
Yes.
Absolutely. Have a word to them and see what plans they've got in place. Then you'll have a really good idea whether you need to do some further planning. SES are also a great site to go and have a look at, and CFA has some great information as well. And also keep a look out with the bom.gov.au site, so you can take note of the weather. And Department of Primary Industries has a lot of great information on their website as well. And also we've also got a Be Prepared brochure that you can download from our website that's got all this lot of information that we've spoken about today.
Yeah. Yep. Well, thank you very much for all that. We did mention off air that you are going to be looking at building a doggy daycare facility, but that's not going to be along for a couple of years.
A couple of years, yes. It will be fabulous when we have it, but yes, it will take us a little while.
Yeah, I think there's a gap in the market here, Nick. I think you and I ought to open an inner-city dog park.
Oh, absolutely.
Great idea.
Yeah, I think we should get our entrepreneurial caps on and obviously see
then people can bring their animals into the city, go know that they're safe while they're at work, and then pick them up at the end of the day.
Then we'll just do radio and have them in the studio here with us.
No, but we'll have Joy playing in the animal park so that they're soothed,
You don't think there's enough room here for
them? I'll bring them in. We have lots of animals, obviously, where we work. We love it.
I think the local council, Melbourne City Council might have something to say about that, because we're not supposed to have people in here unless they're Joy Melbourne members or guests. A lot of people have signed up their dogs and cats as members of the station, I have to say. And during our fundraising drive, please feel free to do so.
Yeah,
great idea.
Okay, well, thank you very much for coming in today.
Marine
and for Catherine, and
thank you.
Keep us informed. You know, any further information that comes to hand, address of this program, freshlydug@joy.org.au, and we'll be more than happy to talk to you once again. And
wonderful.
Let's keep our fingers crossed we don't have any huge problems this bushfire season.
Yes, I've been doing a lot of rain dances. Hopefully, that's helping.
Let's hope. Okay.
Is that what you call it?
Okay. You're listening to Freshly Dug on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.